Psalm chapter 16. I wanted to do one more thing before we got started on our next series. Some questions came up during the last series about some dispensational aspects of the afterlife and what happens to people when they die in different dispensations, and it seems to be different from one dispensation to the next, and that confuses people sometimes, and questions come up about it. So I just thought we'd take one session here and take a look at that. We're going to start in the book of Psalms, but let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the things that that would otherwise be hidden from us, the things that we can't see, the things that we couldn't possibly know, that you reveal those things, those truths to us, Father, and especially, Lord, the truth of your salvation. And we thank you, Father, for your mercy and for not leaving us in the state that we were in, but being proactive and affecting our salvation. We thank you, Father, that we all have this opportunity to spend this time together and to be together for all of eternity and for all of eternity with you. And Father, we just pray that with that in mind, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we might live lives that are better equipped to your honor and glory. In our Savior's name, amen. Psalm chapter 16. David is writing here, and let's pick it up in verse 7, and we'll read down through. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So David, again, this is a psalm of David, and he's praying here to the Lord and praising him. And in the midst of that, you see again in verse 10, David says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. People see verses like that in the Bible, and of course David is a saint of God. He's not going to hell, right? So you see a prayer like this and you think, well, what does he mean, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell? And then you start coming up with ideas like, well, maybe he had to go to hell for a little while, and then, but God didn't leave him there, and you get the whole purgatory thing going on, and all of those kind of things. The problem with that, of course, is when you go over into Acts chapter 2, we won't look at it, Peter says that David here is not only talking about himself, he's talking about the Lord.
Yes.
That his soul wasn't left in hell. Well, now we've got even a bigger problem, right? Because if David didn't go to hell, the Lord certainly wouldn't have gone to hell. So, verses like that, and you see verses like that through the Bible, and people see that and they get confused about what that is. Come with me into your New Testament, and I want to get two passages. I want to get Matthew chapter 12 and Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 12. Because there are some things about the afterlife and about hell different dispensations that it's important for us to know and to get some understanding of. Luke 23, we'll go there first, so that we don't get confused about these things. Do saints go to hell? Well, it depends on what dispensation you're in. Luke chapter 23, now we know here in the Gospel of Luke, when we talk about dispensational things and rightly dividing the word of truth in time past and but now and the ages to come, where are you here in the book of Luke? You're in time past, right? So looking at it in time past, Luke chapter 23, the Lord, this is the crucifixion here, Luke's account of it. And verse 39, Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." So the Lord is on the cross, and the two malefactors, Luke calls them, are hanging to either side. So the one says, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." In verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So the thief on the right hand, he comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one does not. And the one on the right, he looks at the Lord and he says, "Lord, when the kingdom comes in, remember me, I want to be there." And the Lord says in verse 43, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So the Lord tells this guy, they're both going to die in a few hours. And the Lord says, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise. You don't need to wait until the kingdom comes. Number one, to be with me. Number two, to go to paradise." But, of course, the kingdom didn't come that day, did it? The Lord died that day. And that thief died that day. And the Lord says, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Now, come to Matthew chapter 12 and see where the Lord went that day, the day he died. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 says, "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So the Lord's going into the heart of the earth. Now he told that thief, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." So verse with verse, comparing scripture with scripture, where is paradise when the Lord said that? It's in the heart of the earth. So when David and people like him talk about going to hell, in time past, before the crucifixion, resurrection, and the ascension, when people died, saved and unsaved, they went into the heart of the earth. That region there, come with me to Luke chapter 16, is called hell. Luke chapter 16. The paradise side and the other side, it's all hell in your Bible. So in time past, when somebody went to hell, didn't necessarily mean that they were suffering the wrath of God. Depends whether they were a saved person or not a saved person. Everybody went to that place that the Old Testament in the Hebrew calls Sheol. The New Testament Greek calls Hades, that hidden world in the heart of the earth. You see it here in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. The Lord speaking says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." So, here's these two guys. They're both on the earth, right? The rich man and Lazarus. And they both die. And it says that Lazarus died, and the angels carried him into a place that Luke calls, that the Lord here in Luke's account calls, Abraham's bosom. And it says the rich man died, and he was buried. And then in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So here's this rich man now has died, and he's in torments in hell. And he can see Abraham. And he sees Lazarus, because Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. And he cried in verse 24 and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So the rich man is speaking to Abraham and he's asking him to send Lazarus over into where he is and to minister to him. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So, what the Lord is doing here, Luke is quoting the Lord, quoting Abraham, and what Abraham is doing is he's describing this place for us, this place where both this lost man and the saved man are. And Abraham says in verse 26 again, "Between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that people can't get from one side to the other." So the situation you've got here is that the people in torments, in hell, can see the people in paradise, and vice versa, and can talk to each other. But there's a gap, a space, a chasm, a great gulf between them, separating the two. And you notice in the passage, Abraham says that now he's comforted and thou art tormented. So one side of this place is a place of comfort. It's called Abraham's bosom because it's that place of comfort. The other side is a place of torment. But it's all hell. When David said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," he was looking forward to going there, to paradise, But he didn't want to stay there. He's looking for the resurrection. That's why he said, my flesh shall rest in hope, because you won't leave my soul in hell. So, in time past, that's the situation that that you've got. And people see that, and they get ideas about hell out of those verses. That's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about the grave. I've got some marginal notes right in my Bible, put there by the publisher, that gives me an alternate reading for some of these places that say hell, and it'll say the grave or the grave. You want to see, again, with this rich man, he died at the end of verse 22 and was buried. That's the grave. Then in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's hell. There's a difference between the grave and hell. He wasn't lifting up his eyes in the grave, being in torments. His body is in one place, his soul is in another. Something else that people get mixed up on with that is the idea of how the Bible describes death. As long as we mentioned it, it talks about falling asleep. Paul says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Verses like that. So people come up with ideas like soul sleep, and you're not conscious after you die until the resurrection. You're asleep. But you remember what the Lord said when the thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," essentially in the resurrection. The Lord said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." The idea of sleep in death is talking about the body. When the focus of death is on the physical, on the body, it talks about it as sleep. When it's talking about the soul, it doesn't talk about it as sleep. It talks about it as departing. Paul says, "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." To depart and to be with Christ is far better. So, your body goes to sleep, and your soul departs, right? So it depends on what the focus is, what the point of talking about that particular death in the Bible is. So, in time past now, you've got paradise in the heart of the earth, and torments is there as well. Now come with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So what happens today? Saved person dies today, do they go to hell? No, they don't. Something's changed. You need to understand the issue of hell and of the afterlife, just like everything else, dispensationally. There's a difference between hell in time past and hell but now, and hell in the ages to come is going to be something else again. So you want to know, have a good dispensational understanding of these things to save yourself the confusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter." So now, we've got another statement about paradise, but the location is different, isn't it? Because now, paradise isn't in the heart of the earth. Where does Paul say it is now? It's in the third heaven. So what happened? Paradise moved. Didn't it? Paradise moved. When you study paradise through the Bible, it starts out, if you want to study paradise, what you do is you find the tree of life and follow it. And it starts out on the earth in that garden. And then something happens there, and it moves. It goes into the heart of the earth, because death is brought upon the world. Then, of course, when death is overcome by the Lord, it moves again. It goes up into the third heaven. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 12. One day, it's going to move again. And it's going to be on the earth again. And that tree of life is going to be here on the earth, like it was in the beginning. Hebrews chapter 12. You find that out in the book of Revelation in different places. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." So now where do the spirits of just men go? Up into that heavenly Jerusalem. Because that's where paradise is now. So when saints die today, since the cross, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of the Lord, they don't go into the heart of the earth. They go up into heaven. So now today, when you talk about a person dying and going to hell, well, that means what we generally think about when we say that. They're going into torment, because that's all that's left there in hell. Paradise has been vacated. And what happened there between Matthew and 2 Corinthians, somewhere in between there, paradise relocated. And the issue there, we don't have the time to look at a lot of verses, is that before the Lord came and made that payment for the sins that are past, people couldn't go in, walk into, step into, abide in the presence of God, because their sins hadn't been paid for yet. They were covered by that Old Testament sacrificial blood, but they weren't removed. So God kept them in a place of comfort until the payment was made, and until they could abide in His presence. Once that was done, they came up out of that place and went to be with the Lord in heaven. So you've got that difference between time past and but now. Now, come with me to Matthew chapter 10, and let's talk about hell in the ages to come. Matthew chapter 10, because there are some things about that trip people up. Matthew chapter 10, the Lord calls His apostles and He sends them out to preach. And He warns them about the situations that they're going to face and come up against. And in verse 26, Matthew 10:26, He says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather... Anyone want to get that? Sorry, I know the sign says to turn those off. Thank you all for doing that, by the way. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So now, we've got a situation. I mean, we just said, person dies, body goes into the grave, soul goes into hell. Now here you've got the Lord saying that God is going to destroy both soul and body in hell. So now people get the idea again, well, okay, if you're talking about the body, the destruction, the corruption of the body, now you're talking about the grave again. But what people don't understand is, come back to chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, we'll see it again. Is these differences between the situation with the afterlife, and particularly with hell, over the different dispensations and the changes that it goes through. And there's the voicemail message. If I knew how to turn this thing off, I would. The Lord says in verse 29 in Matthew chapter 5, this is the Sermon on the Mount now. The Lord talked about, you know, people have this kind of romantic view about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is all about peace and love and harmony, and let's all join hands and sing Kumbaya. The Lord talks a lot about hell throughout His entire ministry. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, if you're gonna go by the Sermon on the Mount, you can't shy away from the issue of hell and of eternal judgment. The Lord says here in verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So there we go again. You got someone's body being cast into hell. So what is that talking about? Well, come with me to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. What the Lord is talking about there now, He's looking forward to that kingdom and into the ages to come. And He's talking about hell at that time. In the ages to come, in that kingdom, and beginning at the second advent of the Lord, when the Lord returns, and throughout that 1,000 years, hell is going to be physically accessible from the earth. You remember the parables, the wheat and the tares and the sower and so forth, and those tares are allowed to continue for a time until the harvest, right? And then the angels come and they gather them together, and they throw them into that furnace of fire. The Lord says your whole body can get tossed off into hell. David, you know, David talks about his enemies, and he says, let them go down quick into the pit. And the idea there is that you're not going to die first before you go to hell. You know what quick means, right? It's alive. You hath He quickened who were dead. Quick is the opposite of dead. Let them go down quick into the pit. They go in there alive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to go to chapter 2. If I said chapter 2, we'll get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." So we're talking about everlasting destruction and punishment here. And Paul brings that out and mentions that in connection with the second coming of Christ, when He's revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. The Lord, when He returns, look in chapter 2, when He returns, He comes back in flaming fire taking vengeance. Chapter 2 says in verse 8, talking about the Antichrist, says, "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming." So when the Lord comes back, He's going to destroy the Antichrist, and He's going to do that with the spirit of His mouth and with the brightness of His coming. That's that coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Come back with me to the book of Isaiah. I know we're running a lot today, but we're really just skimming the surface on this. We could take a week on each one of these things and not cover everything. Look in Isaiah 34. And even just to skim the surface, I have to talk fast, and we need to look at a lot of verses. I want to make sure you guys have this these verses and this information. Isaiah chapter 34, when the Lord returns, there's throughout the Bible, there's a fire associated with the second coming of Christ. And that fire is the fire of the wrath of God. It's the same fire that you see in hell, that we saw in Luke 16 when the rich man said, "I'm tormented in this flame." People wonder about that flame, that fire, whether that's literal or not. Are the flames of hell, is that literal fire, or is that just kind of trying to describe the torment of the soul? You know, in the parables, when the Lord talks about the seed and the sower, He gives that parable, and He says, "A man went out to sow, and he sowed good seed in his field, and an enemy came, and he sowed tares among the wheat, and then they both grew up together, and they came to the husbandman, and they said, 'Didn't you sow good seed?' And he said, 'Yes, an enemy hath done this.'" And he goes through that whole parable. And when they ask him what it means, he starts to interpret it. And he says, "The sower is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The reapers are the angels." So he goes through that parable point by point, and he tells you, he takes the figurative speech, and he gives you the literal interpretation. And in the parable, the reapers gather up all those tares and they throw them into the furnace of fire. Well, what does that mean? What's the interpretation of that? Well, the Lord says, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall gather up all that offend and burn them in a furnace of fire." So the literal equivalent of the parabolic fire is fire. It's literal. So these flames that we're talking about here, when the Lord comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance, that's literal fire. You see how literal it is. Places like this, Isaiah chapter 34. This is talking about the coming of Christ, verse 4. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from off the vine, falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord. So the Lord comes down. He's got some business to take care of in heaven on the way down. And then he comes, brings that sword down to the earth. And the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. You know, you get a map and you get these verses and you can trace the path of the coming of Christ after he comes to the earth on his way to Armageddon. There's a long roundabout path, road that he takes, just absolutely wreaking havoc and destruction. Blood to the horses' bridles, all of that. He's going through Idumea and Bozrah here, all that land over there in the Middle East, and just tearing it up. Verse 8, it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. So when the Lord comes back in that flaming fire taking vengeance, he actually sets a piece of the earth on fire. The land becomes burning pitch. Look back in chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I'll tell you where that's going to be. There's a place on the earth that gets burned up when the Lord comes back. And what happens is that door into hell is opened. Uncovered, you know, that's what Sheol means. It's the covered place. Job says that hell has no covering before him. He's talking about the Lord in that kingdom. Hell is not going to have a covering over it then. You know, in Revelation, and again, I just have to kind of depend on your knowledge and memory for a lot of these verses. It says when they're thrown off into hell over there in that kingdom, they're going to be tormented in the presence of the Lamb and of His holy angels. Right? Now, you know, Jesus isn't going to be in hell in that millennium. Where is He going to be? He's going to be up on the earth. And the people in hell are going to be tormented in His presence, because hell is not going to have a covering before Him. Isaiah chapter 30. I know, this is great coming right up to Easter, isn't it? The question came up, so we need to talk about it. Isaiah 30, verse 30. Let's get it there. And the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of His arm with the indignation of His anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. Through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. That's talking about the Antichrist there. And you notice, you remember what Paul said? That he's going to destroy him with the spirit of his mouth? That's what Isaiah is talking about here. The voice of the Lord. It's going to destroy him. And the voice of the Lord is that brings that flaming fire. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps and in battles of shaking. will he fight with it, for Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, shall kindle it. So, Tophet is ordained of old. Now, Tophet, you know where Tophet is? Tophet is another name for Tophet that the Bible calls. It calls it the Valley of Hinnom. And you can compare the verses and find that out. The Valley of Hinnom is right outside Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is a city set on a hill. It's got valleys below. The South Valley is the Valley of Hinnom. It's the garbage dump of Jerusalem. It's where they burn their trash and their waste. And the thing about Tophet in days of old, Tophet was had a particular designation. Tophet was the place where they used to worship a god named Moloch. And what Moloch wanted was he wanted you to take your children and pass them through the fire, burnt sacrifice for him. So there's a lot of fire and just kind of bad connotations with that place. The Valley of Hinnom, that's Tophet. That's where the Lord's going to set the earth on fire there. Right outside Jerusalem. Right at their backyard. And that's going to burn until it opens up that door down into hell. Come with me to Deuteronomy 32. So that the Lord could say, if your right hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom halt or maimed than to have two hands to be cast into hell fire. Don't fear them that can only destroy the body. Fear him who's able to destroy body and soul in hell. You remember, we're in Deuteronomy 32. You remember the Lord's judgment, Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations, when he gathers the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And he says to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And they go into that kingdom. Those people don't die. They walk right into that kingdom. Then he's got some other people over here on his left. And he says, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. And those people go away from that place into that everlasting punishment. They go down quick, alive, into that pit, into hell. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them to see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So this is God talking about the end, the last days of Israel. They move me to jealousy with that which is not God, and have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are no people, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. So there that is again. When the Lord comes back, he sets the earth on fire, a piece of it, and it burns down into the lowest hell. And that place is open there throughout that kingdom. Isaiah said that smoke is going to rise up. People are going to be able to see that. We've got so many more verses that we can look at, but I think the point is made, I hope, that this issue of the afterlife and of hell is different over the dispensations. That's our point here this morning. It changes. Paradise moves. Hell has different aspects to it. So you don't need to be confused when you see those things in the Bible. All you need to ask is, where am I? Who's writing? What dispensation am I in, right? Just like every other question that comes up about the Bible, generally that's the first thing you want to know. Who's speaking and when? Okay, we will have to leave it there. Do you have a question or a comment? Yeah, Mike.
In Matthew, and I've always been confused with this, where the Lord says that Jonas is in the belly for 3 days and three nights, and he'll be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. But I get 3 days and two nights where the Lord was in the earth.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've always been confused with that, and I'm confused now.
Yeah. You've got, and boy, we would have to go back and look over the verses, but I'm trying to put it together myself. Now, you've got Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. He dies on Thursday. So you've got Thursday day, Friday day, Saturday day. So that's your three days. Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday night, and early Sunday morning he rises. So that's your three nights. Does that...
Yeah, I guess what I always thought it was he died on Friday.
No, I know that's the traditional Good Friday, right? Good Friday. Yeah.
Confusion comes.
It was Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you couldn't have risen on the third day. It says.
Right.
Right. On the third.
Saturday, Sunday. Right. We know he rose the first day.
But the celebrating of my whole life of Good Friday.
Yeah.
Has really made it.
And that's true for all of us. I mean, it's it's Good Friday. It's not Good Thursday. Yeah, Bill.
We grew up in a Catholic church, and there was purgatory.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know? Lori and I were in purgatory for 3 days.
Were you?
Yeah, in Colorado, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever visit Hell, Michigan?
Yeah.
There's a Hell, Michigan.
Praise God, he didn't leave your soul in hell, so that's a good thing. What you got, boy?
There's degrees of punishment at the Great White Throne Judgment.
Degrees of punishment at the Great White Throne. Okay.
Will there be degrees of punishment in is there degrees of punishment now?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good point. There are the Lord talks about it being more tolerable in the day of judgment for some than for others. He talks about they that knew to do well and didn't do it will be beaten with many stripes. They that were ignorant will be beaten with fewer stripes. So there is a varying degree of punishment. Whether you can specifically prove that that's now and not talking about then, I don't know. But I believe that yes. Nice little old ladies who die without knowing Christ are not suffering the same punishment as Adolf Hitler in hell.
I know they won't eventually, but I was just asking.
Yeah.
Do they immediately experience a degree of punishment?
I always believe they do, but now that you ask the question, I'm trying to think of a verse to prove it, and I can't. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't see why it would be different, I guess. Yeah, Virginia.
So we will see the people that are in hell and or in heaven?
No, that was in time. That was in, no. Yeah. That was in time past when you had paradise and torments in the same place. Although, in that kingdom, when that covering is off of hell, they are going to be able to look in there and see that. We didn't go all into that because that was kind of beyond our purpose here. But for eternity, you will not. And see, that's another thing we didn't even mention, is that further in the ages to come, it changes again. Because heaven and earth flee away, and hell is cast into the lake of fire. So that's a whole different situation. Another dispensational change with regard to hell. Yeah.
Okay, so the scripture that says that God will wipe away all tears, does that have anything to do with the hell, being able to see the people in hell?
I tend to take that verse of, you know, the blessed are they that mourn now, for they will they'll laugh, they'll dance then, he'll take away the pain of this life, you know, that kind of thing. But that's I never thought about that. That's an interesting question. Isaiah in chapter 66 says they're going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to worship the Lord at Jerusalem, and they're going to leave there and they're going to look in that place right there outside of Jerusalem at the carcasses of them who have rebelled against me, for their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And they're looking out at those souls, bodies and souls being destroyed in hell, and you can see them there. I'd imagine that wouldn't be a pleasant sight at all.
Very good.